Albert Einstein understood. The thinking that you're a separate self and a success story, that's Albert Einstein called it an optical delusion of consciousness. What story am I in? I'm in a love story. And when I'm in a love story, my heart's ripped open with joy, and my heart's ripped open with sometimes agony, and my heart's ripped open with ecstasy, and I'm madly in love. I'm madly in love with myself. I'm madly in love with you. I'm madly in love with a band of outrageous lovers, but I can also feel the whole. I feel the evolutionary impulse pulsing in me. And if I want to be in that story, I've got to begin to understand the plot lines of that story. So the first and primary plot line, the first principle and the first value is Eros. But then there are 17 others that emerge from Eros. And that's what this book's about. Welcome. 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 This is a very big week. And whether you're joining us live, I think we're close to our, what week are we in? We're close to our 400th week, aren't we? What week are we in exactly? Somebody tell me in the chat box. What week is this? Let's take a look. I'm taking a look here. Hold on. 391, right? Nine to go, right? Nine to go until we get to 400. Like, oh my God, right? It's beautiful. Beautiful. And this Wednesday is the day that our beloved Barbara Marks Hubbard passed. And we'll be doing both the second part, part two of the book launch next week, and celebrating Barbara together. Where are we? Why does this matter so much? Why are we so ecstatic about it? And why is it all so urgent? So let me maybe show you. We'll start there. We're super excited, right, to share this book and to launch this book officially today, First Principles and First Values, right, by David J. Temple, 42 Propositions on Cosmorotic Humanism, the Meta Crisis, you know, and the World to Come. Now, why does this matter? And, you know, yesterday we started a course. I asked Zach to take the lead in giving that course. I did the first week yesterday. I'll be going to Europe to do the crossing, which will be the event in Europe that Christina was talking about. But what is this all about? What are we doing? And we're not organization building, right? We have no interest in that. We're a think tank. We're a band of outrageous lovers. We're at this time between worlds. We're at this time between stories in which we actually understand that it's not a given that the future of humanity is assured. There's both genuine possibility of extinction. Toby Ord from Oxford covers that well in his book on existential risk, titled by that name. And there's also this very deep possibility, not of the death of humanity, but the death of our humanity. We stop being human beings the way we understand the best of what humanness means. And what we've understood here in One Mountain, Many Paths, and Barbara Marks Hubbard had this shared intuition, and Barbara and I came together in this intuition. And my dear friend Ken Wilber, who I just spent a couple of beautiful days with out in Denver just this last couple of days ago, just got back. And Ken and I founded the center together. And my beloved student and friend and partner, Zach Stein. And all of the people here, right, all of the many, many, many people here online who are holding the space, and you've already heard from some of them, but there's many more behind the scenes, right? We have this understanding. This understanding is powerful. It's deep. It's not Pollyannish. And yet it's also not Cassandra. And it's not, oh, it's going to be good. And it's not, oh my God, we're doomed. It's rather there's a way through. There is hope, and hope is real. Hope is a memory of the future. And the memory of the future is activated, is enacted, right? The new possible future, right? The most beautiful, true, and good world that we've always known is possible is enacted, is activated through an actual evolution of the very source code of human culture and consciousness. Now, you might say, can't be done. Pollyannish, whimsical, fantastical, not realistic, not true. Actually, it's the single most realistic thing that can be done, meaning it's most connected, realistic to the nature of the real and to the way reality functions. Because, and this is what this book's about, who is up for, actually, we're gonna literally actually launch this book today. We're gonna actually literally, not just figuratively, but we're gonna actually enact, we're gonna actually do something together, kind of ritually, mystically, economically, practically. We're going to literally launch this book quite literally, right, into, right, the very source code of culture. We're going to launch it. We're going to raise it up, right? We're going to like big, huge, yes, okay? So we're going to actually do something, right, enormously real today. We're going to become Amazonians, right, Amazon warriors, and we're going to actually catapult this book right into existence. And just to share with you, our dear friend and the publisher of this book, right, the publisher of World Philosophy and Religion Press, Aubrey Marcus, right, they published 2,000 hardcover books, meaning real books, like books, right, and we want to try in the next 2 weeks, right, like let's get it going. Okay, let's get Kindle. Let's get actually hard copy. Let's gobble up 2,000 books and take the first move into culture. And then as we read, right, we give it to someone else. But why does this matter? So I just want to ask this kind of in a little bit of an inelegant way, right? Why the fuck does this book matter, right? Why is this such a big deal? Why is this so hard? Why is it so important? Why is it? Right. So Ariana, that was, I was checking if you were here just to ask permission to use that one word that we've agreed that I don't use. Right. So I was, you know, so hopefully I got your permission and your blessing. Just a one-time thing. Like why does this matter? Like, why does this matter, my friends? Okay. And I want to try and hit this. Okay. What is this book about? Okay. Why does it matter? So here we go. Okay. Here we go. And David's going to read a code. It's somewhere in the middle, but I'm going to get why this matters. So we're facing this meta crisis. We're facing these two forms of existential risk, the death of humanity, the death of our humanity. We don't know the way through. We don't want to take a Cassandra doomer route. We don't want to take a Pollyannish head in the sand, right? It's all going to go on business as usual. It won't. What do we do? How do we respond? And so here's the structure. That's what this book is about. Here's the structure of reality. Okay, and I'm going to ask anyone and everyone, if you can, do this with me in the chat box. Okay, right? Thank you, Andy, rockstar. Okay, do this with me in the chat box. Okay, because you all know this, but I want to, every time I try and articulate it, it kind of blows my heart out, and it begins to take us in the right direction. We're going to go deep today, and we're going to stay within our time frame. But we're going to go really crazy deep. So here it is. Ready? What's our response to the meta crisis? It's the realization of the following. Reality is not merely a fact. Reality is a story. That's step one. Someone going to write for me? Reality is not merely a fact. Thank you, Krista. You're awesome. Reality is a story. But I want to get that. That's huge. That's huge. That's a huge realization. Okay, I want to get that. That's huge. Now, I want to just, before we go through it in order, let me just apply it now directly to ourselves. My life is not merely a set of facts. My life is a story. Does everyone get that? My life is not merely a set of facts. Right? My life is a story. Okay. So that's one and two. Now, so reality is not merely a fact. Reality is a story. Now then, every story has plot lines. Fair? Every story, let's see if we can get this down in the chat box. I want to kind of do this together if we can. Let's like, we're going to just ground this, okay? Every story has plot lines. Two. Three, plot lines invisibly and visibly direct the action of the story. Okay, does that make sense? So plot line, the plot line, the inherent plot line, let's say it this way, okay? The inherent plot line of the story is, if you will, the source code of the story. Okay? See if you can get that right. The inherent plot line of the story is the source code of the story. Does that make sense, everybody? The inherent plot line of the story is the source code of the story. If I want to change the direction of the story, let's even go a step before then. Let's go a step before then. In order to understand the story, I need to discern, for Krista in Holland, D-I-S-C-E-R-N, in order to understand the story, I need to discern the plot lines. Does that make sense, everyone? In order to understand the story, right, I need to discern the plot lines. Is that fair? Okay. So what's the plot line? So here we go. So reality is not merely a fact, reality is a story. Reality is not an ordinary story. Right, slow. Reality is not an ordinary story. Reality is a love story. Okay? Reality is not an ordinary story. Reality is a love story. And that claim that reality is a love story, another way of saying it, bracket an essay that Elaine is now working on, end bracket, another way of saying that is reality is relationships. At its very core, reality is relationships. That's what reality is. So slow. So reality is a love story, but it's not an ordinary love story. Right? Reality is a love story. It's not an ordinary love story. It's the next sense. Reality is not an ordinary story. Let me go slow. Reality is not an ordinary story. Reality is a love story. Another way of saying that is reality is relationships. Now let's add, what we mean by that is reality is not an ordinary love story. Okay, reality is an outrageous love story. Reality is an evolutionary love story. I'm not trying to give you new technical information, right? We're in now this place where we want to be in this realization, right? Why would you say I love you to your partner? Didn't you say I love you yesterday? Don't you have that information? No, it's a new I love you. This is the I love you of reality that we're doing now, okay? So let's see if we can track this, okay? Let's all be in this together. Reality's not an ordinary love story. It's an outrageous love story. What do we mean by that? What do we mean by that? What do we mean by that? Anybody, what do we mean by that? We mean outrageous love is not ordinary love. Does that make sense? Outrageous love is not ordinary love. Let's get every step of it, okay? Right? Outrageous love is not ordinary love. Outrageous love is eros. Eros. Eros is, reality is eros. Actually, reality is eros. And eros is not mere human sentiment. Eros is not mere human sentiment. Next sentence, anybody? Eros is the heart of existence itself. So reality is eros. And see if you can track this thread inside of you. Reality is eros. And eros is not mere human sentiment. Eros is actually the heart of existence itself. Now, bracket. Everything I'm saying is backed by what I believe is the deepest read of the sciences. If you read the sciences carefully, this is actually what they are saying. They're often unaware that they're saying it because they're speaking, even the scientists, within a language of classical and formal science as they should. So it's possible to not be even aware of the implications of what you're saying. But for example, as Ted, you and I discussed this morning, for example, if you really understand relativity, Einstein's relativity, it is that reality is a series of relationships. And that the fundamental constituent structure of reality, or reality's fundamental value, hear this again, reality's fundamental value is eros. If you really read the depth of the sciences, what they're saying is this. And by the way, all right, NASA put out a book kind of trying to do just pure hard science. And someone sent me this book just a year and a half ago after I'd been saying this for 20 years. Right? And the name of the book is Cosmological Theories of Value, Hard Sciences, right? A complete minimalist book, meaning no philosophy, no interiors, just minimalist book, just looking at the hard facts of reality by hard science guy, right? By the way, if you want to just show and tell, here's the book. I believe that myself and the author's mother are the only two people who read it. I read it quite carefully. This is what a book by how I read a book, right? Just for fun, right? Right. And he comes to the exact same conclusion. Just so you get this, he comes to the exact same conclusion. Okay. In other words, he's never read anything I've ever written, right? He's operating in a different world, but he actually doing the hard sciences, right? Very, very carefully comes to the same conclusion, although there's no one in the book where he says that sentence, but that's the implication. It's how he reads relativity and multiple other disciplines. He does a small piece of it, but just I want you to understand, this is not a New Age declaration. It's not a human potential declaration. It is that the deepest read of the sciences as we know them is that reality is governed by a value, and that value is called Eros, and Eros is the plot line of the story. Okay, now, check this out with me for a second. So what's my relationship to that Eros? What's that my relationship? So Eros is the primary value of cosmos. That's what I would say. Eros is the primary value of cosmos. It's the primary value, or Eros is the ultimate first principle and first value of cosmos. That's what it is. That's what Eros is, the ultimate first principle and first value of cosmos. And Eros is, finish this with me, Benjamin, anybody? Eros equals all the way up and all the way down. Eros equals the experience of radical aliveness, right? Whether we're talking about the level of leptons, hadrons, quarks, or all the way up the evolutionary chain, Eros equals the experience of radical aliveness. It is love and action. That's correct, Ujis. Eros is the experience of radical aliveness, desiring ever deeper contact and ever greater wholeness. Eros equals the experience of radical aliveness, desiring ever deeper contact and ever greater wholeness. And another word for wholeness would be, anybody? Good morning, Vietnam. This has got to, right? We are David J. Temple. The author of this book is all of us, right? Right? You can't read this book. We got to be this book, right? We got to be this book, okay? Right? Another word for wholeness is intimacy, says Ted. And an even more primal word would be, anybody? Going once, going twice would be relationship. Good. Ujis, great. What else? Ever more wholeness, ever more relationship. Yes. Ever more Eros. Yes. What else? Anybody? Value. It's ever more value. And Vanessa, it's also ever more desire. Of course, wholeness and value are at their core the same. It's deep. We call that Eros value. Right? Ever greater wholeness is ever greater value. So reality is a field of Eros value. So no, stay close, okay? Stay close. So before there's any particular meaning, there's meaningfulness. It's a new sentence. Who's got the sentence, right? Before there's any particular meaning, it's exciting. Before there's any particular meaning, there's meaningfulness. Or another way to say that would be, before there's values, there's a field of value. Does everyone get that? Before there's values, there's a field of value. Does everyone get that? Now, what does that mean for me? Why does that matter to me? Someone, a dear friend of mine, said to me, man, right, like, you know, write a book about like 5 steps to pleasure and 3 steps to kind of, you know, owning your life, right? But first principles and first values, why would I read that? It's the single most important thing you could possibly read. Because, and if you think I'm too excited about this, well, there's a meta crisis, and I am 1 billion percent convinced, as was Da Vinci, that it's only this new story of value, not a contrived new story, only a new story of value that can actually respond. Because let's get that, only a new story of value can actually respond. You get that? Why? Because reality. Okay, now let's keep stay with us. Let's all do this together. So don't put it on one person. Let's get this in the chat box just so we can see it, so we can be alive in it. So let's just do it again. Because reality is not merely a fact. Reality is a story, right? A. B. Reality is not an ordinary story. Reality is a love story. B. C. Reality is not an ordinary love story. Reality is an outrageous love story. Reality is an evolutionary love story. C. D. Evolutionary love, outrageous love is eros. That's D. I think it's D. E, eros is not mere human sentiment. Eros is the heart of existence itself. Well, great, right? F, right? Or A, B, C, D, E, F. F is 6, that's easier. Okay, 6, okay? Eros, I'm gonna add something. Eros evolves, it's a story. The nature of a story, it has a plot line. The plot line's not static. The plot line is, stay close, the plot line is Eros. And what does Eros do? What is the Eros formula? Eros evolves. That's what Eros does. Eros evolves. Eros is, Ujis, you wrote before, you were right. Eros is love in action. Right? Evolution is Eros in action, responding to need and desire. Eros is love in action. Evolution is Eros in action, responding to clarified need and clarified desire. That's the plot line of evolution. Or said differently, the plot line of evolution is the evolution of love. Okay? Said differently, the plot line of evolution is the evolution of love. Or, right? Kirsten, you're deep in this Dharma. Elaine is now deep in this text. Kirsten was deep in this, like, we're in this text together. Let's say it another way. Reality is relationship, one. Anyone wants to write it down? Or I will if you want, Rhett. Two, reality is evolution. 3, reality is the evolution of relationships. Same thing, okay? Now, who am I? Where do I live, right? Where am I, who am I? The great questions, where am I? I'm in the field of Eros value. That's where I live. I live in the field of Eros value, right? Where am I? Let me say it again, where am I? I live in the field of Eros value. Who am I? The field of Eros value lives uniquely in me. How crazy, this best fun I've had in a long time, right? I mean, just check in for a second. Who's got some joy now? I got some joy now. Anyone got some joy now? It's kind of like, wow, right? It's like gorgeous, right? So where am I? Right, where am I? I live in the field of Eros value. Where am I? I'm in the field. Where? I'm in the field of Eros value. Who am I? The field of Eros value lives in me. So the plot line of reality's story is the evolution of love. And the plot line of my story is the evolution of love. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So let's get more precise. We said, where am I? I live in the field of value, right? The field of Eros value. Where am I? I live in the field of Eros value, the field of Eros value. Everyone got that? We said, who am I? The field of Eros value lives in me. Is that what we said? That's what we said, right? That we said? Did we say that? We did say that. So we got that almost right. Let's add something to it. Who knows what we're going to add? What are we going to add? What are we going to add? Right? The field of Eros value lives uniquely in me. The field of Eros value lives uniquely in me. Uniquely in me. And it's not just I'm Renee, I'm both a unique expression of love and I'm loved uniquely. It's not just general. The field of Eros value lives uniquely in me. So the plot line of my story is to live and play out in the most clarified, stunning form, the field of Eros value desire, or Eros desire value is a better way to say it, right, everyone? Because clarified desire equals value. And so my life is to clarify my desire, clarify my need, which is unique. I'm both part of the common field and I'm unique. And what we all share in common is our uniqueness, right? So the field of clarified Eros desire value plays out uniquely in me. That is my love story. That's my love story. Okay, last step. Then we're going to do like a crazy big action if you're up for it. Last step. So let me see if I can do it again, okay? Let me see if I can do it again. I'm doing a little recapitulation, okay? And I don't know if you're excited, but I'm crazy excited to be alive with you. I'm crazy excited to be with you. I'm ecstatic to be with you. I'm so just privileged, right? Like I could like, right, rip my hair out. Okay, it's so good. It's so beautiful. Okay, let's do this. Okay, it's beautiful. So I'm going to do a little recapitulation and I'm going to add something to the recap. Okay, here we go. Ready? So we said reality is not merely a fact. Reality is a story. One, reality is not an ordinary story. Reality is a love story. Cha. Okay. Reality is not an ordinary love story. Reality is Eros. Reality is an outrageous love story. Reality is an evolutionary love story, right? Good so far? Everyone good so far? Everyone good so far? And all of reality, by the way, all of reality is a story, meaning reality is not atoms and stories. All atoms are stories. Get that sentence. Reality is not atoms and stories. All atoms are stories. That's a big sentence. Okay, Elena, right? Right? All atoms are stories. What does that mean? What does that mean? It's very beautiful, right? Because a story with me, a story is a set of conversations with myself, with reality, with others. A story is a set of conversations. Reality is conversations. But reality is a conversational cosmos. It's a conversational cosmos all the way up and all the way down the evolutionary chain. Okay? So atoms, protons, and neutrons have a conversation. They don't say, hey, Jack, how's it going? Hey, Lily, how's it going? They don't do that. They don't do like a Hindu thing. Hey, Krishna. Hey, Radha. What's going on? Hey, Rama. Hey, Sita. They don't do that. But they exchange meaning structures. Right? There's actually a field of value, a field of meaningfulness. There's a field of, not, I'm going to call it a field of meaningfulness, a field of value, right? And both the proton and the neutron operate within certain rules of that field of value, which has certain telos, certain desires, certain goals. It's reaching towards something. It has an inherent reaching towards, right, more complexity, more life, more aliveness, more wholeness, more functionality, more creativity, more depth. Right? All of those are values that are shared by the proton and neutron, which allow the proton and neutron to come together. And I sat with a molecular biologist and biochemist. It's one of the leading ones in the United States. and had dinner with him on Thursday night. No, not on Thursday night, on Wednesday night. On Wednesday night. And I shared with him the way that I was reading science the last 10 years. And he's kind of not a known figure. I mean, I guess in very particular circles he is, but not a known figure. Wonderful person. And he shared very, very excellent papers that he's written over the years, where he was reading science as a leading scientist in the exact same way. It's like, okay, this is how you have to understand this. You can't understand this. The way I would say it is, this is not just mechanics. Reality is not just mechanics. Reality is art. It's music. Right? It's Eros. Protons and neutrons are not a mechanical fit, right? They are together in a shared field of value with mutualities of feeling and mutualities of value and mutualities of recognition, which create new mutualities of purpose. That's the nature of reality. Like, wow, right? So it's a story. Realities, right? One poet, Muriel, famously said, reality is not atoms, reality is stories. Wrong, right? Reality is stories, but atoms are also stories, right? An atom is a story. It's a proto story because a story means that there's a field of desire. I desire something. There's a plot line and it's going somewhere. Okay. So just like the atom is a story, that story, the nature of story evolves until I get to the human level. Does everyone get that? It's so beautiful. The nature of story evolves until I get to the human level. And then at the human level, story becomes conscious. I become aware that I'm not merely a fact, I'm a story. Okay, this, get that sentence? I become aware that I'm not merely a fact, that I'm a story. And I'm going to help tell you out over there. Thank you, Kirsten. I become aware that I'm not merely a fact, I'm a story. And that my story is not an ordinary story. My story is not an ordinary story. My story, just like the story of reality, is, finish the sentence, anybody. My story is just like the nature of reality. My story is, what kind of story is my story? It's a love story. Not fantastically, not weirdly, not a New Age declaration, not a fundamentalist dogmatic claim. The ontology of reality is its phenomenology. Right? That's a big, the ontology of reality, its actual nature, is the way it phenomenologically operates. It's what it does. Reality is what reality does. Reality does love. Reality is love in action. That's what reality is. So you might say to me, so why the fuck is there evil? Again, why the heck is there evil? Well, the only reason we recognize it as evil is because it's a failure of intimacy, right? So we can't answer the question of evil as a mystery. But the only reason there's a question, the only reason it bothers us, the only reason it rips our hearts open is because it shouldn't be that way, because reality is a love story. So evil itself is a failure of intimacy. Does everyone get that? If there's not an intimate universe, if there's no intimate universe, right? There's no intimate universe, then there's no evil. Evil is a failure of the intimate universe. Let's go to the last step. What are the plot lines of the story, my friends? The plot lines of the story, the core plot line of the story is Eros. And I want to come to a conclusion. I want to try and do an action with you if you're up for it. And thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Right? And this is crazy exciting. So the core plot line of the story, the primary plot line is Eros, or Eros value, because the value of reality is primary value, Eros. So Eros, reality desires more and more wholeness. Reality desires more and more value. I came to that conclusion, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, through my own kind of process of introspection, meditation, right? Realization, but of course, combined with constant engagement with texts of all sorts, from all sorts of wisdom, disciplines, and traditions. But none of them said this, but it was implied, although invisible. Turns out I'm not a Whiteheady and I don't read Whitehead. But it turns out that Whitehead independently came to that same conclusion, And that when I spoke to the primary White Hat scholar in the world, I didn't speak to him, we emailed before he passed. And he said, wow, you and Whitehead came to the same conclusion, which made me ecstatic. David J. Temple. So David J. Temple is all of us. David J. Temple is this unique self-symphony. David J. Temple is our studying together for all these years, or if you've just joined this week, join David J. Temple. David J. Temple, we're publishing these books, not as Mark Goffney or as Zach Stein or as Ken Wilber, but it's David J. Temple is as an expression of this in the world. And my prayer is that when I die, I hope that's later than sooner, that David J. Temple's passed on. This is not an egoic project of some dude or dudette. This is all of us together. We are David J. Temple. And when we pass, right, we pass this new story into the world, and this new story is subversive. I want to get that again. This new story is subversive. It has the capacity to be revolutionary. Our revolution is subversive. We subvert the materialist values of reality. We subvert the superficial story of reality, which is win-lose metrics. We subvert the success story of reality, and we take the red pill. My friend Lana Wachowski, who made The Matrix, is what he was talking about. You take the red pill. Now, Lana didn't have all of this dharma, but Lana understood the idea of we've got to wake up from the false reality. Albert Einstein understood the thinking that you're a separate self and a success story. That's Albert Einstein called it an optical delusion of consciousness. What story am I in? I'm in a love story. And when I'm in a love story, my heart's ripped open with joy, and my heart's ripped open with sometimes agony, and my heart's ripped open with ecstasy, and I'm madly in love. I'm madly in love with myself. I'm madly in love with you. I'm madly in love with the band of outrageous lovers, but I can also feel the whole. I feel the evolutionary impulse pulsing in me. And if I want to be in that story, I've got to begin to understand the plot lines of that story. So the first and primary plot line, the first principle and first value is Eros. But then there are 17 others that emerge from Eros. And that's what this book's about. Okay, all of this was just to introduce this book. Okay, so I want to ask if everyone's up for this, okay? So we're going to do this kind of crazy thing. And I know this is, and I don't want to apologize because we've worked on this day and night, all of us. But I want to ask, I'm just tenderly, just humbly, and please don't get mad at me, or you can get mad at me. People do all the time, right? So, but if you can, I want to ask, as those of us who haven't, if you've bought the book, buy another one and give it to someone. Okay, if you got the Audible, get a hard copy of the book. Get 5 hard copies, right? Give it to someone else. Oh my God, David. David, read us the code. Read us the code. Read us the code. Give us the code, sums it all up, right? Blow us away. David, read us this code.
We live in a time between stories. We live in a time between worlds. We live in a time where we hold the power of ancient gods. We have the power to create worlds of unimaginable goodness, truth, and beauty. And we have the power to end worlds, to end humanity, or to end our humanity. We have no story equal to our power, and this is what we call in cosmoerotic humanism the second shock of existence. We are here to tell a new story of value rooted in first principles and first values. This new story is a story in which the cosmic story and the personal story are one. This is a new story of our power, a new universe story, a new story of our identity, a new story of desire, and a new story of communion. It is only the articulation of a new story of value that has the capacity to respond to the meta crisis. But it's even more. The telling of a new story is the inherent natural movement of cosmos itself. The evolution of story is the evolution of culture and consciousness, which is the evolution of love, which is the evolution of God, the manifest God.